later listening to that story. He would imagine her head bent beneath the lamplight, her fingers in a painful cluster around the pen. And he would wonder at her tenacity, her belief in beauty, and in the authoritative voice of the ex-nun. But on that day, he did not know any of this. On that day, he carried the slip of paper in the pocket of his white coat through one sick room after another, remembering her letters flowing one into another to form the perfect shape of her name. He phoned her that same evening and took her to dinner the next night, and 3 months later, they were married. Now, in these last months of her pregnancy, the soft coral robe fit her perfectly. She had found it packed away and had held it up to show him.
"But your sister died so long ago," she exclaimed, suddenly puzzled.
And for an instant he had frozen, smiling, the lie from a year before darting like a dark bird through the room. Then he shrugged, sheepish.
"I had to say something," he told her. "I had to find a way to get your name."
She smiled then and crossed the room and embraced him. The snow fell. For the next few hours they read and talked. Sometimes she caught his hand and put it on her belly to feel the baby move. From time to time he got up to feed the fire, glancing out the window to see 3 inches on the ground, then 5 or 6. The streets were softened and quiet, and there were few cars. At 11, she rose and went to bed. He stayed downstairs reading the latest issue of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery. He was known to be a very good doctor, with a talent for diagnosis and a reputation for skillful work. He had graduated first in his class. Still, he was young enough and, though he hid it very carefully, unsure enough about his skills that he studied in every spare moment, collecting each success he accomplished as one more piece of evidence in his own favor. He felt himself to be an aberration, born with a love for learning in a family absorbed in simply scrambling to get by day to day. They had seen education as an unnecessary luxury, a means to no certain end. Poor, when they went to the doctor at all, it was to the clinic in Morgantown, 50 miles away. His memories of those rare trips were vivid, bouncing in the back of the borrowed pickup truck, dust flying in their wake. The dancing road, his sister had called it, from her place in the cab with their parents. In Morgantown, the rooms were dim, the murky green or turquoise of pond water, and the doctors had been hurried, brisk with them, distracted. All these years later, he still had moments when he sensed the gaze of those doctors and felt himself to be an impostor, about to be unmasked by a single mistake.